And that way, refer hospitals, I think, to help standardize the inpatient care and turn to you for help on hitting the quality measures, because there are several quality measures that are hospital-related that you can help them deliver. Second is readmissions. So beginning in 2012, hospitals had a material penalty. Patients are readmitted to a hospital over 30 days. And you all know, you know, on average 20% of patients are readmitted, and most of that can be avoided by doing two things. Having them see an outpatient clinician within a week, and having them actually take medications when they go home, which are the right ones. Far too often, you just get the hospital a pile of prescriptions and go home to a bag of pills. And these things aren't compatible. They don't know what, which ones to take. They can either take none, or they take both, and neither. The biggest cost in those bundles is actually the days of hospitalization. So your health and management this day, even fractions of days, has thousands of dollars of impact over what will be the economics for that patient. So bundling care is a big impetus to these hospitals. Under the Recovery Act, there's a $25 billion program called the High Tech Act, which is the rebate to the doctors and hospitals to buy electronic medical records and use them. By wiring and individual information, you can do many, many things, including evidence-based medicine, including sharing data, but also handoffs happen much more quickly. Predictive modeling happens much more effectively. This makes it a lot easier to be at hospitals, for sure, and for you to make sure that you know what happens to your patients post-hospital, and very importantly, for you to demonstrate your value. Because it's hard for me today to know, over the course of a year, because you did the hospitalization, did they have fewer people? Over the course of a year, because you're doing care versus somebody else, or they're having fewer admissions, by having a longitudinal data, you'll be able to make a much stronger case for the value of the grid that can be unequivocal when you get bigger data sets around the impact of your care. The productivity adjustments for hospitals lead hospitals to find ways to cut costs, and part of that is the standardization of supplies, of labor rates, nursing labor, and also the use of it. It's cheaper for hospitals in most cases to use hospitals because you can work with the hospitals constructively to manage costs, utilization of productivity in a hospital, and avoid complications. And finally, the patient-centered research, the patient-centered outcomes research institute, comparative effectiveness research, has going to create a wealth of data, which you will be able to incorporate into your practice, I think, more quickly than others, which will allow you to differentiate yourself in the quality of the offer patients. Another important aspect of patient-centered outcomes research institute is the fact that the research itself is targeting underserved populations, understudied disease segments, understudied diseases, so you get data on a lot of areas where you're not really good data. You won't be repeating the next trial of a statin in the same. If all this doesn't work, the independent payment advisory board, if it does work, but if all this doesn't work, the independent payment advisory board will every year come up with a host of policies that Congress has to actively stop from coming into the practice of medicine meant to improve cost and quality. If these policies by themselves improve cost by or lower the cost curve, the GDP plus 1%, then IPAD does nothing. But if they don't, then IPAD will offer some policy. I want to make one comment just briefly on ACOs. CMS issued a proposed rule about accountable care organizations. You should realize that proposed rules and final rules are not the same thing. A proposed rule is where you put in everything you hope might occur, and then you allow comments where everybody says why everything you just said can't happen. And then you integrate the comment and you come up with the final rule. So the first thing I say is don't overreact or overread the proposed rule. It will change when positive. There's three obstacles to getting broad adoption that you see as in the proposed rule that you should at least be aware of. One is limited financial incentive. And so you might say, why would Medicare why would they cap how much money you could save and get if you're a doctor? Second barrier is some organizational operational challenges about complexity of designing the program. The third is about just getting every other payer to have symmetric programs, so it's not impossible to figure out how to adapt your practice to the doctor. On the financial incentive point, though, I want to come back to that, which is the reason why Medicare might want to cap the upside in the first years is that we don't have great measures in quality. You all know this. I mean, you all say, I am quality, and you know what you do is quality, but it's hard to measure it. It's very hard to measure underuse as well. So you wouldn't want to create a program in the country that unethically could allow a doctor to undertreat a patient or choose a medication or treatment choice that wouldn't be the right one for that patient. And so by capping the upside, it makes it less likely that that could occur, while hopefully people invent excellent measures for underuse in the treatment. So you don't have a system where there's concerns that patients have about the doctor not having their interest fundamentally in mind when they're making treatment decisions. So that's, I suspect, what Medicare was thinking in this proposed rule, and something that you should watch carefully for how you begin measuring undertreatment and underuse. I think that there's four ways in which hospitals will turn to you, and you need to have an answer for how you can help them solve these problems. that they will, that hospitals will have to figure out if they're going to survive, thrive, and it really means that hospitals will have to begin performing with the rest of the economy. So the four things that I think that you need to help hospitals achieve is how do you still get more labor productivity? So how do you think about the right mixture of talent in a hospital? Not just doctors, but nurses, technicians, allied health professionals, administrators. What's the mixture of people in a hospital care for patients efficiently? How can you lose the team and delegate from your effectiveness so you don't get redundancy or inappropriate or ineffectual handoffs? Second one is shifting from selling work units and widgets to selling years of health. So the health system today pays for units of care. That's not what a patient wants when they come in. They want to get better. They want to have their questions answered. They want to return to life. And so we need to be rethinking what we do and how you contribute to actually returning to years of health. And that's a much better way to get paid, by the way. And something you can have a much bigger effect on than sort of units and getting more units per year. You can't do that. The fourth one is really embracing and using data. So variation, can be good or bad, but you need to understand it. You need to have purposeful variation when it's done around a patient, but you shouldn't have unintentional variation. So you have to use data much more rigorously, much more often. Now, there's a whole bunch of tools and applications and ways to use data that are coming onto the market that will make it easier, but you should embrace this to be on the leading edge of measurement and improvement and iteration.